Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yo.
Set.
I say this with all due respect.
To me or in general?
In general.
Oh, okay, cool.
But.
However.
Having sex should not be a chore. And if it is a chore, and you know it's a chore, you should not demand or push monogamy on your partner.
Okay. That's fair.
Fair?
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just looking at you.
Why is he looking at me like that? That was directed at me?
Who am I supposed to be looking at then? It's just me and you in here.
Well, I thought that my sex drive would have been renewed with the vow renewal. But since that shit ain't happened, my sex drive ain't happening either. Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level. This is Dead Ass. Story time. I'm going to take y'all way back to last night. All right? By this time, you guys have already seen the promo video and videos and pictures that we spent time in the Bel Air Mansion. And you see Kadeen had her whole get up on, her whole 90s girl.
I did.
Her face was beat.
I was going for like Brooklyn slash 90s slash Barbie, you know, like
we saw a fusion. Yeah, we saw. Story time, it's my time. So she had on the whole face beat. The baby hairs was laid.
Okay.
The rhinestones. She had about 77 pounds of weave in her hair, right? So the whole day, she knew I was looking at her. Y'all saw the way I was looking at her, right? Y'all saw the videos. And everybody was putting like, it's the way DeVal be looking at Kadeen for me. It's the way he looks at her for me. So everybody saw the way I was looking at her, right? What y'all didn't know was that she had that same hairstyle 3 days in a row with the makeup because it took 3 days to film everything. So the first day she said, yo, I got you at the end of the shoot. I'm going to let you mess this up. I know how you like to do. So I'm like, let's go. We're going to mess this up, right? We get done filming yesterday. We get home. She's like, oh, I'm tired. I need to go take a nap and chill. So I said, fine. She said, I'm gonna leave my face on and my hair for you, daddy. I'm gonna leave it on for you, right? So I was like, all right, cool. She gonna leave it on. So we go to my homeboy's house about 7 o'clock because I go to work out. We bring the family so we can spend some family time together. When we get back to the crib, I'm like, boom, it's 10 o'clock. Jackson's already going to bed. So it's just me and wifey. So I'm like, you know, it's about to go down. She sit down while we about to watch Greenleaf and she start taking the weave out.
Talk about foreplay, watching Greenleaf. Okay, go ahead.
First of all, that's your show. I don't even know why. I already knew what time it was at night, but she wants to watch Greenleaf. So I'm like, you want to watch an episode of Greenleaf?
I'm trying to watch an episode of Greenleaf. Father, we thought he died, but he turns out he ain't dead. So, you
right.
know.
Don't ruin it for nobody.
Bad.
Don't
Sorry,
ruin nobody.
Spoiler.
No, you ruin
spoiler
it. Don't
alert.
Ruin the show. You know?
All right,
so now she go to put on Greenleaf. She start taking the weave out. So now I kind of got an attitude. Because I'm like, you said you was going to let me mess it up. But now you taking a weave. So now I'm kind of mad. So I'm like, y'all don't even want to watch Greenleaf no more. She's like, you don't want to watch one episode? She already fade and half sleep. Right? So I'm like, nah, let's just go to bed. So we go upstairs to go lay in the bed. And I guess she sensed that I had an attitude. So now she's just like, damn, I'm going to have to, you know, fulfill my promise. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying nothing because I had already decided that I was going to let this go. 10 years of marriage, I'm not going to be on her about it, right? So now we laying in the bed. She's like, can we watch one episode of Greenleaf? So we turn Greenleaf on. We laying in the bed. I'm on my side of the bed. I put the covers on. So I'm like, don't touch me. You stay on your side. I'm staying on my side because I don't even want to be aroused. She going to come scoot her butt on me and lean on me and then tap me on my chest, right? We 20 minutes into Greenleaf, right? Tap me on my chest. I look over at her. She look over at me. She going to say to me, Mom, I know you listen, but pardon my French. She going to say to me, you feel like eating my pussy? She laying in the bed. She got her face half beat. The rhinestones is still here.
My shit was still beat.
The
don't
baby
even
hairs
don't
is still laid.
They
but
was.
She got this little ponytail the, sitting the, up here. And she going to lean over at me and poke me in my chest.
Devout.
Ask me if I got to perform on her. You made promises to me. So you know what I did, y'all, right? What I do?
Took that shit.
I said, yep. And that right there epitomizes married sex after 10 years.
Truth is I'm tired.
Oh, my gosh.
Options are few.
The options are one.
I'm trying to pray.
I'll pray with you.
But where are you?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
I'm all churched out. Hurt and abused.
Don't nobody abuse you.
I can't fake.
Trying to love you.
Say it again. I can't fake. One more time. I can't fake what's left to do.
I don't even mind if you fake it. I just want it.
DeVal, you know you know that's a whole lie.
I do.
Because anytime
like
I
that.
Attempt to fake it, you can see right
I
through
tell,
that shit.
I don't like
You're
it.
Like, you know what, Kay? I've known you for almost 18
I don't like
years.
That.
We've
I don't
been
like
doing
that.
This shit for almost 18 years. Don't be faking that shit.
It'll be 18 years next week. Well, by the time this episode airs, it'll be over 18 years.
Facts.
I know. I know when she's faking it.
Truth is, I'm weak.
Why are you so tired and weak, though?
So, no strength. To
Why?
Hide.
Why?
I'd be tired. Well, you know, along with the vow renewal not being renewed.
Oh, my gosh.
My sex drive wasn't renewed, nor has my energy been renewed. I don't understand what it is. It's like a thing. Like, when you become a mom, you just be tired.
So, tell,
like,
your, tell your side of the story.
You're tired in perpetuity.
So, you heard what she said, guys? This is part of the problem for men. Because, and here's the thing. I don't want to say just men and women thing, because we've gotten a lot of emails from women who said they have higher sex drives than their husbands.
Right.
So,
I guess,
you know,
like,
all those statistics show that that's the anomaly. Majority of the time, especially at our age, men's sex drive are higher than women,
mm-hmm.
you know, between the ages of 30 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
What the issue for me is this. If I'm going to compromise with you and say, you know what? I'm not going to push you for sex when you don't want to have sex. And you give me a date and time.
Right.
And it's time to pay the piper. I don't want to hear your damn excuses.
No, it's not
and men get pissed off because then y'all don't want to even discuss the fact that you made a promise. And whenever men talk about sex, women always are like, y'all going to have to figure it out and do what y'all want to do. No, don't leave it up to us. Y'all want to be in this with us, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm just having a hard time talking to you with that ghetto ponytail.
So, exactly. So, the fact that you got looking at me with this ghetto ponytail, imagine how I feel looking at you. I'm trying to be sexual and trying to be intimate with you, and you got this ponytail sticking up on your head. That's what
cute.
I had to look at.
It was cute. You just wanted the whole wig piece, but listen.
I did want the whole, because that's what I deserve.
I understand. You do deserve it.
I deserve
the wig
it, yes.
Piece. Next time, Janelle,
yes.
I'm going to have you sew that shit in versus pinning it in, because clearly that did not work.
Yes, Janelle. I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that.
Listen, so after 10 years of marriage, we've been through several stages of intimacy. Missy naturally.
Yes.
We've been together almost 18
yes.
years. So where are we now? Where can we go from here?
Well, let's talk about the stages of intimacy.
Right.
We got lust, romance,
okay,
peer bonding, which means being able to face uncomfortable truths about each other and deciding if we can live with those truths.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Forevermore, or locking it down, you know, we're there. All right. The ordeal or threats and tests characterized by things like babies, mortgages, redundancy, death, going through life cycles with your partner, stuff like that. So those are the ordeals. Like, that's the stuff that we're going through, too, as a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the real deal. So what happens is that people, as they get married, go through all of these different stages of intimacy. I think right now you're at the real deal. Right. Because we have Jackson, who is in school, our kids, you know, out there doing their thing. Well, Jackson's not really in school, but I feel like your mind be all over the place.
That's fair.
I'm still at lust.
He never left.
I think
shit.
I've been in lust since I was 18.
I love it. And you know what's amazing about men in general? Well, you particularly, because I can't speak for every man. However, you've been in lust through every phase of everything. So
yeah,
when I felt my worst, when I was 9 months pregnant, when I was in the fourth trimester, it was like a swollen vagina and like leaky boobs and shit. You thought that shit was sexy. And to me, there was absolutely nothing sexy about that. Like, I was like, yo, I had a baby in me. I got a baby on me. Like,
well,
somebody's,
I mean,
always touching me. So I had my phases where
it was back.
Very different.
Let's just dial it back. The leaky boobs, I didn't think they were sexy. The swollen vagina now. All right. For obvious reasons, you guys know why I would think that's sexy. It's very lubricated down there. Okay. In any event, I am not allowed, based on our marriage laws and the contract we signed with each other,
right,
to have sex with anybody else.
Right.
So these urges that come, I have to share them with the one person I decide to spend the rest of my life with.
Right.
So that brings me back to my soundbite.
Okay.
Right. I don't understand, and this is what we can discuss. As a woman, because I don't want to say it's a man versus woman thing, but a lot of women do complain, oh, my husband's always on me. Why is he always on me?
Mm-hmm.
If sex is going to be a chore for you that you don't really want to do, why do women constantly push monogamy on men? If you know that you don't want to have to deal with him all the time just wanting you, why do you push monogamy on men?
Well, who's to say I pushed anything on anybody? Like,
well, we know that you pushed monogamy on me.
I pushed monogamy. I forced you to get married to me?
Time out. I didn't say you forced me to get married, but did you not say to me that you wanted to be engaged and you wanted to be married before you live with me? You didn't say that?
I want $1 billion. That don't mean I'm going to get it.
So that's fair, but we're not even talking about marriage. Let's even talk about dating, right?
Okay.
Two people are dating. Typically, in society, who asks for exclusivity first, a woman or a man?
I would say a woman.
Thank you. That was my whole point. See, you were going all over the place. If women typically ask for exclusivity first, then when they get exclusivity, say, he always on me, he always want to have sex. Why are we asking men for exclusivity if we do not want to participate in sex at the same level as men? We have to think about what that does to a man.
I hear that.
And I don't think that conversation is being had.
Okay, I agree. And that part I agree with. Yes, that women are typically the ones that will ask for the exclusivity. I get that. Yes.
So you say you want to be engaged. I get engaged. You say you want to be married within a year. We do that. We get married. Then you make it seem like sex is a chore to your husband. Once again, I ask the question, why do women who push forth monogamy on the man they're dating, then get overwhelmed with that man who tries to provide that monogamy to you? Why do you get upset when we're trying to be what you want us to be? You don't want me to be with no one else, right? Right? I'm asking. This is a serious
question.
Yes,
absolutely.
You don't want me to be with no one else.
Absolutely.
So if I decide that all this testosterone I have, I want to give to you, why is this so overwhelming now? This is what you asked for.
26 and 27-year-old Kadeen. Was like, okay, here's the natural succession of life. You graduate, you're working, you meet somebody, you guys are dating. you want children.
Yes.
I want children.
Yes.
We don't want to wait too long or too late to have children.
Yes.
Though now a lot of people are waiting until their 30s to have
yes.
children.
And I understand why.
And we at that time felt like, well, we're doing everything in this natural succession that the forces that be have given us this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that, too, is not knowing that you have the liberty and the choice and there shouldn't be any pressure to wait. Right. So 27-year-old Kadine in that moment felt like, OK, so we are dating for a certain amount of time. At that point, we were dating for 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 7 or 8 years is a bit of time to be invested in somebody to not know, is there a future here? What are we doing? So
Absolutely.
At that point, I proposed to you the idea of engagement. We got engaged. Then it was like, all right, we want to have kids. I particularly didn't want to have a child until I was married.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, well, we're engaged. We might as well. The next phase is get married. And then naturally, girls get excited. The minute you're engaged and it's just like, oh, fiance, you know, he put a ring on it. It's like the wedding planning has to commence. Like, that's just naturally what most women do. Okay. So that happened. And then we ended up getting married. However, I did not realize that after having children, after, you know, career changes, all of the turbulences that we've been through in life, that was going to have a direct effect on my sex drive.
And, that's fair.
And me not knowing that, if I knew it then, I probably would have rethought, you know, what I was going to do when it came to marriage and monogamy.
And that is fair. And this is why I like to have this discussion. And I think we should have this discussion because people look at us and say, oh, relationship goals, right? Marriage goals. They don't know what is being discussed behind closed doors,
mm-hmm.
right? So, for example, one of the things that I have deduced through being married to you for a long period of time is this. And this is not about a woman thing. This is about me and you. I learned that you were never taught what it entails to be with someone in a monogamous relationship. The same way
no.
I was never taught that.
Right.
So what happens is that we both have expectations of what we think it's going to be like.
Of course.
And then the minute it's not like that,
mm-hmm.
we start to project our issues that we have with that on each other. So you
Naturally,
get mad at me and I get mad
on?
At you. So the problem is not so much the reality of what happens is that we all have this ideal of what it's supposed to be like. And I'm going to give you an example. As a man, right, in my 18 to 22, we had sex routinely, like all the time.
Yes.
That was it,
mm-hmm.
right? Once we moved into together and we were living together in our own house in Michigan, sex started to slow down. This was before kids.
Mm-hmm.
This was before marriage. This was before you was mm-hmm. working. This was before any stresses, period.
Right.
This was just you. Like, sex just started to slow down.
Right.
And
but also,
part,
too, 18 to 22 was like college. It was my first time out of my parents' house.
Right.
You know, we were living in this utopia that was college
right.
life. And also, too, what was the other thing that I was going to say? So we distance. We had distance.
Yes, we had distance.
So there was time for us to like miss each other and be like,
absolutely.
Oh, I can't wait to see you again. And when we do see
each
other.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So once we started to move in together
right.
and you see the same person every single night,
mm-hmm.
the distance that we had when we were in college and I was traveling and we were doing different things, that distance allows time for you to kind of reboot your sex
yes.
drive.
Yes.
For me, I don't necessarily have to reboot my sex drive. The minute I see you, I want to have sex. So when we were missing each other, it seemed normal that we had sex all the time. But then when we think about it, we really wasn't having sex all the time because we didn't see each other all the time.
Right.
Then when we moved in together and we see each other every day, every time I want to have sex, I look to you. It became overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the reason why I say that is because the conversation starts to happen with, why do men fear marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Why do men fear marriage? And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to explain this so that everybody can understand this.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a man, a young man, and you talk to your friends who are married about getting married, the first thing they do is say, take your time, right? They don't ever explain why, because men aren't vocal. We don't discuss these things. We're not emotional.
Mm-hmm.
All they'll say is, whew, take your time. You got time for that. You sure you want to do this? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, you know, shit going to change. And then you're like, what does that mean? Oh, don't worry about it. Shit going to change. So no one really tells you as a man neither what exactly is going to change and how it's going to change and why it's changing. But I've learned over years why it's changed and how it's changed. For example, when we were in college and we were having sex a lot and I was at football practice and I used to go away games, stuff like that, we had time apart, right? Once we moved in together and we were having sex routinely, your body couldn't handle it.
Right.
Like physically couldn't handle it. You would get UTIs, you would get bacterial infections because it's the same pounding every day.
Mm-hmm.
So as a man, you start to realize, like, you know what? We are not just wired differently mentally. Physically, we are wired differently. She can't take everything that you want to give her all the time. But since no one tells you that, you just expect that this woman who wants me to be loyal to her, monogamous to her, is going to want to have sex every time I want to have sex. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you move in with a woman and you live with her all the time do you realize that she can't do that. You see what I'm saying? So not only are women not being taught what it's like to be in a monogamous relationship, young men are not being taught what it's like to be in a monogamous relationship. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand completely because I experience the same thing. And that's why I'm grateful for platforms like this or just our generation of people who are speaking up and speaking out and speaking to each other about these things, because then maybe people will make more educated decisions about whether or not they do want to be married or they do want to be in a monogamous relationship or, you know, what actually is involved in that. And the crazy thing about marriage is that, you know, one of the things you always hear is like, you know, you got to compromise. You got to compromise.
It's
but like, what happens when one party feels like they're compromising more than the other, or one person feels like they're sacrificing more than the other, then that becomes an issue, because a lot of times we try to meet each other halfway, but you still feel like you're ended up with the short end of the stick. And it just may be too, because you literally have a bigger sex drive than me. And for me, it just takes way more to get me to a point sometimes where I'm even willing to do that. Like, back to your story, it was like, damn, I know I promised him. Mm-hmm. I promised him some ass tonight.
Promised me.
And I was like, damn, I can't not do this. But I want to go to sleep. Like, I really just want to wash my face and go to sleep.
Now, here's another thing, too. And let's be fair. I'm willing to compromise, right?
Yes.
Am I not?
You are willing to
compromise. We don't have sex every day. We don't have sex in college. We have sex 2 times a day. You know, we see each other. We was like rabbits, right? I compromise. And I even said to you, I'm not going to push for when I want to have sex. I'm going to allow you to get back in the mood, and then when you come to me to have sex, because I want the sex to be enjoyable.
Facts, but it'd be a problem when me having to reset my sex clock be longer than you expect it to be.
No, listen.
And then that'd be a problem.
Hold on, there's a study. There's a study here.
I was about to pull up the same quote.
Go ahead, pull up the same quote. Go ahead. You can pull it up.
I'm going to say it so the Val can go off. So it's funny, we were talking about this episode on the way in, and our amazing manager, Denora, she was like, listen, here's a quote that I literally just heard in the Uber on the way here. Most men will happily have less sex for more peace.
That is
lies.
Okay. The key word here is happily.
I agree.
Happily.
Happily?
Happily.
Can you see this nigga over here skipping down the block happy?
Because I get more sex.
Because
I get more peace,
like,
and less
like
sex.
I'm just trying to envision DeVal right now with his headset and his ghetto ponytail just skipping down the block, like, happily.
No.
Happily, because he's like, you know what? I have peace in my home and my life because I'm having less sex.
Now, here's the truth, though. Here's the truth. The type of peace they may be talking about is a different type of peace. You and I have a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Right? And people ask me all the time, so if sex is that bad in marriage, why do you stay married? Because sex isn't everything. That's number one. Our relationship outside of just our sex life is amazing. Like, you're my best friend. We have a lot of fun together.
I mean, we do. However, sex is like that like looming. It's like when somebody farts in a room and then it's like the fart. It's like a fart.
What kind of sex you be having when your sex is like farts?
Listen, it's like a fart in the room and the shit just be lingering. Like, you know that shit be that thick.
You see?
That thick smell that like won't escape the room.
That's how she views sex, guys.
It's like looming sometimes.
That's how she views sex.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, in the cartoons when they have the green fingers and it's like going like right through your nose. Like
that's what sex is. You hear
this?
That's
how sex be sometimes.
Look at her face.
Not all the time.
Y'all see this? That's how sex is.
Sometimes.
But if she can describe sex like that.
But hold on.
No, don't try to backtrack.
We do have a great relationship.
Since she says that, right? If sex feels like that to you, why does it bother you if I have sex with someone else?
Not sex. I'm saying the topic of sex. Like the discussions that happen around sex are lingering. Even though it's not,
you didn't say
just
the topic
like the
of sex. You said sex.
No, that's okay. Let me clarify.
Yeah,
not,
please
not
clarify
sex.
Because you made it seem like sex is that terrible.
No, I'm not talking about sex. No, not the act of sex.
Yo, you need to clarify. You need to clarify.
All right, let me.
Because you just said sex
clarify.
Was like a fart. Green fingers going up your nose. That's what you said. So if sex is like a fart, then you wouldn't care if I farted on somebody else, right? Let a nigga go out there and just fart. You wouldn't care.
He'll be sharing farts with everybody.
Exactly.
You get a fart. No, let me clarify that.
Please.
The act of sex is not the fart.
Okay.
It's the discussion surrounding sex, or like the heavy looming tension that sometimes happens around sex. Because when we do have sex, we have amazing sex.
Yes.
Right? We are best friends.
That's
we
why
have
I be
an
wanting
amazing
to keep
relationship.
Doing it.
But the reason why I was like, was because I know that the topic of sex sometimes, as great as things are, can be a damper.
Because you always say to me, sex is more important to me than it is to you. You always say that. It's not high on your totem pole, your priority list.
No, it's high because I know it affects you, so it still has to affect me. But if I just like was to go down the list of things that I need on a day-to-day basis, personally, then no, sex is not high on the list.
Right.
For me.
So, and this is just another thing that men always want to hear women explain, and no woman has ever been able to explain this to me. If you don't need sex and sex is not high on your priority list of the things you need, why does it bother you so much if he wants to have sex with someone else?
So
then they
just
get quiet.
Throw monogamy
you know
away.
Why?
Throw marriage away at that point because it's like, what's the point?
I'm going to tell you why. The idea that a woman can tell a man not to have sex with anybody else, then tell that man when he's going to have sex, how often he's going to have sex, and how he has sex is extremely selfish. And women don't want to admit it, but it's the truth. It is the truth. The idea that a woman can say to a man, you can't have sex with no other women in the world. You can only have sex with me, but you only going to have sex with me when I want to have sex. And you only going to have sex how I want to have sex.
So you're talking about married people or dating people? Because
anybody who says that, because it's even for a man to say that to a woman is just selfish. For one person to say to another person, you can't do anything else, but you only going to do what I want in the time I want it is selfish. Period. But women have found a way to make it seem like that is okay, and it's not. And for men who are married or in a monogamous relationship, it's frustrating to try to live in that realm.
So it sounds like some people need to be getting divorces. Some people need to not be married.
Some people need not to get married.
Some people not. Yeah. And if you know early on, unlike me, who will completely admit that I didn't necessarily know early on that I would have to be putting it out every single day, then I probably wouldn't be married too.
I don't blame you.
Best friends, co-parenting and whatnot, but we wouldn't have been married because I feel like married people will be like, or married women, since you're asking about women not being able to answer this question for you, then it'd just be like, okay, so why are we married then? Like, I guess along with marriage comes monogamy. That's synonymous pretty much. So if that's something that women won't be willing to do, then we should be letting people go.
See, but this is my point. When men try to explain this, you know what women say? Oh, you just immature. You need to grow up. When you going to grow up and start being a man? When you going to settle down? You know how many of my single male friends have heard that? They're in their 30s and they have multiple women because they don't want to disappoint no one by trying to be monogamous and realizing they can't be monogamous. So they say things like, you know what? Relationships really don't work for me. We can just have fun. Women call them immature. They say they're dogs. Everything.
So what about a man that wants a legacy and a family and a something past just the sex part of it? Then how does that fall into play if it's just, okay, we're avoiding committing to somebody because of sex, but then now we want a family or we want...
Because that ultimately comes to my point of why I'm married and why I think that we work. Of course, we have issues within our sex life. And when we say issues, it's really not have issues. We have sex 3 to 4 times a week, right? If it's not intercourse, we have some type of sex 3 times a week at least. Sometimes it's less, you know what I'm saying? But I would say on average about 3 times a week.
Yep, and we still have issues. So.
And we still have issues because, and some of our issues arise in how we get to sex.
Right.
Because you feel like as a wife, even when you don't want to have sex, you have to have sex. And for me as a husband, or do something sexual.
Yeah.
So for me as a husband, it's like, I want to accept that from my wife, but I want to be wanted.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want it to be enjoyable. I don't want to lay in the bed.
Going back to the chore part.
I don't want to lay in the bed and you just like, here, come on. Like, even though we may have sex like that, that's not enjoyable for you and it's not enjoyable for me.
Right.
So
that's one day out of the 3 to 4 days that is like a wash because it's like, who really benefited from that?
Right.
At that
point? So no one benefits from it. So that's where me as a husband has said, you know what? I don't want you to feel pressure of when to have sex. So I'll just wait for when you're ready to have sex, for us to have sex so that we can be good. We've come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like when you're ready to have sex, I at least want you to you know, put on a nice outfit, make it nice. I don't want you, now you're ready to have sex, let's just jump into it. Mm-hmm. It's like, if we're going to compromise and I'm going to agree to have less sex, which goes back to this thing, men will have less sex right. to have more peace, because that daunting conversation, I don't want to have that daunting conversation either, because once you start having that conversation, then any sex you have after that conversation seems like it's not genuine. It seems like it's not genuine.
Yeah, and it's just like, who wants to discuss sex and how we're going to get to it to then only do it and then it should be whack because there was this whole discussion that had to happen before. I think the best sex that happens is usually spontaneous, which is why sometimes I don't even have time to be putting on no outfits, because it's just like, yo, I just popped in my head, like, let me just go and, you know, perform.
See, but
I'll be performing.
So you and I have also had this conversation, because at one point I started to feel like I was the problem. So I was thinking, like, you know what, maybe I don't look the same way that I used to look. Maybe it's my beard. Maybe it's my hair. Maybe I need to lose weight. Maybe I need to gain weight. I'm trying to figure out, what can I do to make you feel more in the mood? Mm-hmm. So as a husband, I try to take that on.
Right.
It's like, what can I do? And at that point, that's when you told me you weren't sure. You know what I'm saying? So what was going – when I was trying to ask you to figure out, what was your step to figure out how you could increase your libido?
So – I really felt badly that you felt that you had some sort of deficit that prevented me from wanting to have sex. And that's something I really wanted to nip in the bud early, because I'm like, it's not for lack of, like, me being attracted to you or not wanting to. And knowing how much you wanted it, I felt inadequate. I felt like, you know, I'm the one with the deficit. If anything, it's not DeVal. It's
funny
me.
You say you felt inadequate, because I felt inadequate. Because I'm like, here I am. A man, I work out all the time. I do everything, and my
you
wife is
good.
Not into me. Yeah,
your
you know what I'm saying?
On point.
Right. I'm like, my wife is not into me.
Right.
And the thing is, I'm a very selfless lover. Like, I don't just go to have sex and
absolutely.
Be like, bang, bang, I'm out.
Done, yeah.
I try to make sure that you're taken care of. So
absolutely.
You felt inadequate, and I felt inadequate.
Right. So in me trying to, like, unpack, like, Kadeem, what is really the root of your issue when it comes to sex? It's the most frustrating thing, because it's like in your mind, you're like, okay, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like your body can't, like, jumpstart. It's like an engine that's lost its battery life. And it's like you're like, you know,
yo,
like
your analogy,
like, start that shit up. You're trying to start that shit up. And it's like, here's the valve with, like, the jumper cables. You know what I mean? Hence the rollover and just eat me out tonight. But I'm just saying, like, you're there with the jumper cables, and it's just like, oh, you know, it may or may not work. And in my mind, I'm like, it should just be so easy for me to say, you know what, this is what I want to do. I want to please my husband. I want to be all into it. I want to be swinging from the chandeliers, dressed as all sorts of, you know, fantasy things that you want me to be. And it should be mad daunting for me, because I'm just like, my body just doesn't.
Well, you did say that you felt like after every child, and we have three kids, so it's like we've had children consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like your libido dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And it hasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Rebounded.
And it
now,
has not rebounded at
is it
all.
Physically your libido?
And hear this man talking about you want more kids. I'm like, this.
Because you asked me about legacy. You asked me about legacy. You asked me about why I'm married.
Where am I going to be sexually after that? Like, I don't know. And I'm scared to find out. A bitch is scared to find out.
I get it. Trust me. I get it. And Okay, so let me ask this question. You said it was it physically your libido? Like, what did you feel like it was chemically your thing, or
yeah,
was it
maybe
you not
hormonally, like
you're
there's
not
something
feeling,
internal? Because I also said to
but
you,
but did you feel sexy? That's my point. After
oh, did
the kids.
I feel sexy? I had my moments where I did, and I mean, you never made me feel as if I wasn't sexy, which was the craziest part to me. Because even in my, you know, worst day when I didn't feel sexy at all, I maybe had a little extra weight on, didn't feel like myself. You never at any point made me feel like I was lacking something.
Well, you weren't, and I know in your eyes you see yourself differently than I see
right.
you. But
and to me, I was like, I'm lacking all the shits. Like,
yeah, and that goes back to how we project what we want for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
what we want ourselves to look like on our partner.
Right.
So you thought that because you had gained a little weight, and because I remember you said your areola was a little darker, you felt like you weren't attractive.
Right.
So I understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
meanwhile, DeVal was like, "Oh, she's so plush and juicy.
It was just
and squishy.
It turned me on. It
your
did.
Girl over here felt like what's that stuff that kids be making? Not
yak. Play-Doh.
Like
No, you didn't feel like Play-Doh.
No, I didn't feel like Play-Doh.
No, your analogies are off today.
Oh, all right,
between the farts and the car battery with the no jumper cables and now gag, I don't know who this woman
slime.
Is right now.
That's what it is, slime. I felt like soft.
You felt like slime,
no?
You definitely didn't feel like that. And the thing is. This is what I think women need to hear. When a man chooses you to be his life partner, he chooses you for more reasons than just how you look. So there are certain things about you that attract me that have right. nothing to do with how you look. So when you wake up in the morning and you don't look your best to you, mm-hmm. to me, it's not even just about you looking good. It's your essence. Mm-hmm. There really is something about you when you smile at me, the way you smell. You know how certain people have like that physical attraction that goes beyond? That is what it yeah. is for me.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? That's
Agreed.
What it is for me. So,
and I feel the same way too. That's why I've always even said too, like when you go back to like, is it me? Mm. I'm like, it's not you, because I feel like you could dangle another man in front of my face and I'll be like, I don't want to fuck you neither. Like, I don't.
No, I feel you. Know I hear what you're
like,
saying.
It's not like I'm out here just
I hope
trying
that's
to
the
find
case,
because
I don't
want
to have to kill nobody.
Of course not.
Because I will kill somebody.
I would love for you to be around for like our children's life and whatnot and not locked up in some cell. You know? So I get it. So they say that. This brings me to another question that I wanted to pose to you. Most marriages that end in divorce are financial issues,
yes.
right? But then you have marriages that end because of sexual infidelities,
yeah.
you know, infidelities and whatnot. So do you think that at that point, you know, like saying that marriage is not a big weight, I mean, mm-hmm. sex is not a big weight on most marriages. Why is it that these marriages end because of infidelities?
To be honest, I can't speak for anyone else's marriage, mm-hmm. right? But I do feel that people put an unrealistic expectation on their partner in different facets of their life. Mm-hmm. And one of them is infidelity. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you cheat one time, you text somebody, you look mm-hmm. at somebody else. It's a wrap. I'm out.
Right.
Without giving someone the grace to learn what's going on, especially if people have gotten married at a young age.
Right. You know, like us. And we did have an episode last season, was it? Or
right,
season
when we
before,
talked about infidelity.
We talked about infidelity, yes.
So,
and I was getting flack like, sis, here you go, forgiving another black man. And
right.
But black women are always forgiven. And I was just like, right. Sis, quiet as it's kept, there's women in relationships that they feel are monogamous, but they ain't. So if anybody's in the dark, it might be you. Like,
that's
you just never
true.
Know.
And, then,
so
and
you
there
can't
are
pass
men.
Judgment.
There are men in relationships.
Right.
Who they think they're being monogamous and their wife is not being monogamous.
Right.
So I don't pass judgment on anyone's
Facts.
Marriage. So anyone who passes judgment on our marriage can kiss my ass. But,
that part.
and to be honest, I don't feel a way yeah. about judgment because when right. we get on the platform to talk about our marriage, people have the right
to have
their
opinion.
So
exactly.
if that's how they feel, that's how they feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I really could care less. But what I have figured out for myself is that marriage to me, because there were points in our marriage and I was like, yo, this is just seems selfish and I don't know if I could mm-hmm. exist in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to weigh what's important
right.
to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's important? Like I said before, you're my best friend and you're a business partner. You and I have not only developed a brand and developed a business model that works for you and I
mm-hmm.
and works for building a legacy for our kids, but we've built a friendship that I think would outlast anything, because when we were broke, especially after the NFL,
mm-hmm.
you and I were still best friends and we still found ways to enjoy life and enjoy each other during our harshest times. No money. We were struggling with our sex life. We had just had a child. We were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow through that, you and I found a way to create a great life.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, as a married man, it's like, all right, I'm going to have to make some adjustments in the things that I want as a man. And like you said, what do I think about in my legacy, right? Why do I get married? What do men think of, you know, what's the thought process? I know I wanted a lot of kids. I want boys and girls. I have three boys. I would like to have a daughter. That's part of the legacy I want to leave. I want to be able to raise a daughter who's intelligent, who's beautiful, who has a lot of self-worth. I want to be able to give the world a young lady with those type of attributes. And I feel like we collectively can do that. So part of my legacy is not only just doing everything I can for myself
mm-hmm.
or for us, but it's also in growing another productive member of society.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do that to both a young man and a young woman. I have three boys. I want a young daughter. If that means I have to sacrifice other aspects of my life that may not seem perfect in what I expected, then I'm willing to do that. Because then I start to realize what I felt was perfect was only what was fed to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I think
That's
that
fair.
If people would have fed to me the reality of being in a monogamous relationship
mm-hmm.
from young, I would have known what it was. Rather
would
than
you
creating
have still a, done it? Or would you have been like,
I'm still doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm still doing it now.
I could have bailed, but you didn't.
And you could have bailed.
And I could have bailed, for sure.
So we both made an active choice. Right. We continuously make an active choice to mm-hmm. be here.
It's like, yeah. Because, it's, and it's a prioritizing.
It is prioritizing. Happened.
Which brings me to some tips that we have for you mm-hmm. guys for sex after marriage, during marriage, all that good stuff. To have sex, you have to prioritize it. I think that's a necessity for me. I got to make sure that I'm like mentally like, okay,
you've
a couple days have passed and I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, we got to get you've this done shit
that.
Done. You know, I'm like, Dino, put it on the calendar for me so I can remember. There's a natural ebb and flow in libido over time. And that's important. Ebb and flow. That's a good way to, but that's a good analogy. That's a good little phrase. So, it, you know, it comes and goes. It comes and goes.
I know you're waiting for mine to go.
Facts. Don't let your solo sex life fall to the wayside. The more you have sex, the more you want it. The less you have it, the less you want it. In what world? That don't apply to you.
So you gotta listen.
Sex can be a two-person activity or a one-person activity. In addition to helping you get in the mood for partnered sex, masturbating can build your confidence. You don't subscribe to masturbating. You don't like that.
I just don't like it because I have a woman that I'm in love with that's in the same house as me. So it just doesn't really do much.
It doesn't do it for you?
Nah, because that's like the minute you done masturbating, I just be feeling guilty. Like, I'm masturbating. I'm like, man, what the fuck I do that for? It's what I got a wife. It's what I got married for. You know, but you did say that sometimes you try to warm yourself up.
I do.
But I mean, maybe the more you have sex, maybe the more you get into it. I don't know.
That's a tip.
I got a tip.
Of and course, a chef. In abundance. In abundance. If you can't get into the mood, think about what's going on outside the bedroom. So is there something that's preventing you from getting there? Are you having other stressors? Things like that. The reason is simple. What you do out of the bedroom can affect what's going on or not
that's
in
true.
The bedroom. So
that's
communicating
true.
With each other, which I think we do in abundance yeah. as well. Continuing to talk about sex, yeah. prioritizing other forms of sexual touch and intimacy, exploring other forms of intimacy, considering to see a sex therapist. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Shannon, Shan Booty on
Shan
Instagram.
Shan Boudram. She was a guest on our show, I think, two seasons ago.
Some amazing tips.
And we're going to be on her show.
Yeah, we're actually going to be on her
Quibi.
Show soon. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Learn each other's love and desire languages. Could be different. Gifts, quality time, acts of service, words of affirmation, physical touch. Okay, so that brings me back to what makes things desirable for me. So you have
yes.
said before, like, it. Yeah, I told you it wasn't something you were lacking physically. You know, I was thinking lately, you're real sexy when you, like, wash dishes and shit.
Yo!
Like, you
here's
know.
Here's the setup, guys.
Putting in a load of laundry.
Here's the setup, guys.
You know.
See the setup?
Mowing the grass. Well, we have a landscaper like that for that. But I'm just saying, maybe like doing a couple things around the house that kind of helps a bit. I know you're kind of spoiled because my mom lives with us, so you really don't have to do anything around the house. However, that pile of clothes that you have on the floor by the side of the bed after I've cleaned the room up, you know, your side of the closet, like, it would be dope. And
this
that
is
might
all
be a turn on for me.
This
if
is
you
all,
just
it
like,
might be a turn on.
You know,
I'm not doing all that shit for it not to be a turn on.
Let's try it. We should try it. You know what? We're going to revisit this whole sex thing after the Val picks up some stuff around the house.
Guys,
that might make you even more sexy to me, bro.
Guys, this is how
just
they,
saying.
This is what happens when guys
hey,
become.
You asked me what's going to make you
I know,
more desirable.
I got you.
So,
but this is what happens when guys become a simp. You know what a simp is?
What is a simp?
It's not
like a word you made up.
It's not
a,
no. If you look it up, simps are dudes who just run after and do whatever their wife say. They just whatever their woman want, they do. This often happens to husbands because wives will give lists of things that they can do to be considered more sexy in their wives' eyes, and then when they do all of this shit, and the wife still ain't putting out, then what?
Well, I mean, this is going to be a trial and error for us. I can't say that it's going to be a hit or miss. It may be a miss. If it's a miss, then we know it don't work.
Oh, my gosh.
But on the list of things that make DeVal more desirable.
That was a good try.
That makes you DeVibe.
That was a good try.
Do you know what I mean?
That
Let's
was a
see.
Good try. So, so how about this?
No,
so how about we do this? So I'll try to do that
okay.
if you try to do the things that I've been asking you to do for 10 years.
That's fair.
That's fair?
That's fair.
Because if we're going to be fair, mm-hmm. I've been asking you to do stuff for 10 years you haven't done.
I've done, just not consistently. or in,
so it's
in
not getting done
in the frequency that you
yo,
want it done
yo.
As in every day.
The rationale that you like the stuff you come up with is just amazing. Like, you live in your own world. In your own world, you exist in Kadeen land. They can Dean Lynn. You're going
to
say you get it done. You just, okay. I am happy to be a part of it.
To be a part of it.
I am.
Because you're here.
I'm happy.
And you ain't going nowhere. Listen, and on that note,
I will say this. Kadeen Lynn is great because I'll take what I can get. But what I do get is freaking amazing.
Let's take a quick break because y'all know how it is. We got to pay some bills. And we'll be back with the listener letters.
Copy.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushion.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/deadass.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with Kadeem's favorite time of the show.
Right. I want to get into y'all's sex lives because y'all have gotten into mine. So, you know, let's see if anybody else has farts in the room or whatnot.
Oh, my gosh. You don't have people thinking that I'd be farting during sex. Like, no. I don't want to do that.
I cleared it up. All right. So the first question for today. Hey, Deval and Kadeem. Hey, big fans of y'all. Thank you. Do you think it's right to watch porn when you're married or in a committed relationship?
This is easy.
Yeah.
Whatever y'all decide, y'all two collectively, what is in bounds and out of bounds is up to y'all.
Yeah.
If y'all decide collectively that y'all want to watch porn, cool. If y'all decide y'all don't want to watch porn, cool.
But what happens if one wants to watch and one doesn't want the other one to watch?
That's why I say collectively. Everything has to be done collectively. Like, asking someone else what's good for your marriage never works.
Right.
You have to figure out what's good for y'all too. So if they collectively decide they want to watch porn, or even if they collectively decide that they can watch porn alone, that if it works for them, it works for them.
Yeah. I mean, personally, we don't have any issues with porn.
No, we don't have no issues with porn.
It's just like watching
any That's how I learned some of my video. Stuff. I be learning how to... You know what I'm saying? Kadeem be wanting to get aroused. I got to flip her upside down.
Facts.
And do that.
We do our own stunts.
Yes.
We do our
Kadeem
own
got
stunts.
This thing she do with her left leg.
All right. Chill. Don't even give away all my secrets and whatnot. No.
The left leg movement. The left leg movement.
Yeah, something about the left leg. And that's amazing because I'm a righty. So, that's it. Bitch is ambidextrous. Okay?
No, you're ambisextrous.
Bars. That was a good one.
I'm going to write that. You ambisextrous.
Thanks. Yes. Remember that shit the next time you want to tell me something about me.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
You want to read the next one?
I got to read this long one. All right, let me
it's
see.
It's a long one. Oh, both. You want to break it up?
I got it.
All right.
Y'all. It starts with y'all. 3!
So you know it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Can I just say that you guys are awesome and I admire the way you all have put your lives out there for others to see that marriage is a beautiful thing at work, but definitely worth it. With that said, I feel like we legit have a parallel life. I have been married for 10 years. We have 3 whole beautiful children,
yes.
7, 4, and 2.
Oh.
My husband and I are high school sweethearts. Been together now 21 years.
Mine's
insert,
because
that's
Facts.
What it says. Insert, okay. Since I was 15 years old, I know my husband is an ex-NFL player as well. We now have full-time careers, and our focus is on raising decent human beings. They do sound like us.
Mm-hmm.
We are still madly in love with each other, and we are the best of friends. We have only had one other, as a sexual partner and want to keep it that way. But I find that our sex life is becoming a bit mundane. I'm very communicative and asking him if he wants to spice things up with whatever he wants, but he says he's content and happy with what we do. I mentioned this past career because I want to be understood, his testosterone that I deal with.
Oh, my God. Kadeem
will get it.
We need to start a support group. Because you are me and I am you.
She says, we get it in very regularly. He can't go too many days, like 2, maybe 3. Jesus Christ. Did I write this list in the letter? Without it, but it's the same thing. I want to change things up and also don't want to hurt his feelings and cause him to feel inadequate sexually. What do you guys suggest can work to improve in this area?
No, no. Says rewind this whole episode and re-listen to it because we are the same people, clearly.
I'll say this. That, you know, Kadeem has, because she doesn't always want to share everything about our sex life because, you know, some things have to remain for the imagination. But Kadeem has asked me to try some things with her that I was just like, I would have never thought that you would even like that or you would want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my wife. If she wants to do it, I feel like it's my responsibility to adhere with whatever she needs. That's just me.
Yeah.
Like, everybody doesn't feel that way. But if wifey says she needs this, I'm on it.
Right.
So,
and for me, it became a thing of, like, let's try this. Like, since we're at a point where, yes, we've been together for a long time. We've been with each other exclusively for a long time. So, it's like, shit can get very monotonous. So, when you want to start introducing different things, different ways, different ideas, knowing that the sex can get dry.
Right.
And not wanting it to get there, then it's just like, hey, let's try this, you know? And I think that if you both are in a committed relationship, like you said you are, you guys are still madly in love with each other, like you said you are, you're still attracted to each other. Sometimes you got to call in reinforcements. And reinforcements don't mean necessarily another person.
No.
You know what I mean? It can be some other shit. You know what I mean? So
I mean, you wanted me to use a vibrator one time.
Right.
I tried. And then I ain't going to lie. At first, I was like, yo, what you need a vibrator for if you got me? I did feel like a little, like, taken back, like, damn, like, why?
Right, because she did say she doesn't want him to feel inadequate
sexually.
Like, I have to pull in other shit to make it work. And sometimes it's not a matter of just trying to get other stuff because you're lacking something. It's like, hey, I just want to add something to my experience just to try something different.
Well, I mean, it is hard for a man to feel like he's not satisfying his woman enough, especially his wife. And I'll be the first to say, you're taught from young, you know, like you satisfy your man, your girl. Like that's your job. You know what I'm saying? You don't need no toys. You don't need no this. So you think that if you're not doing that, if she says she requires that, that you're not fulfilling your job. And she said, you know, he's an alpha male. His testosterone is high. He played in the NFL. He probably feels like he can solve everything.
Right. He wants to be everything.
Talk to him. So, no, listen. Yeah. I have learned, this is one thing I learned. I remember growing up being in my teenage years, you thought that the pounding was the best way to make a woman orgasm, right? You think that, you know, the bigger, the harder you are, the harder you hit it, you know, the longer you can hit it, the more she's going to orgasm, until you become an adult and you start to listen to women speak, and then you do research and you find out that 80% of women do not orgasm from penetration. They orgasm from clitoral stimulation. And some women require clitoral stimulation while getting penetration. Mm-hmm. And for some women, it's just like, you know what? If I've been doing this way, maybe I want to try something different.
Right.
So you got to put your ego aside and realize that, bro, it ain't even about you. At this point, your wife is saying she needs something. You have to adhere to what she's saying.
And I can empathize with her in that your body changes after children.
Yeah.
After multiple children. So what you might have liked before, not really feeling it this time around.
Yeah.
You know, that also happens.
Yeah.
Because we spoke about it on that episode last season where things that were like, here's my analogy again, things that were like a green light is now like yellow. And then things that used to be like a red light, like hell no, is like, it's a yellow, we can try.
Maybe.
Or same things that were green is like
red.
Stop, red. Like, no, we ain't doing that no more because my body does not like that anymore or something. So I think it's a work in progress. It evolves. You know, the sex life definitely evolves, especially if you've been together and been married for so long. So I hope y'all are talking about it, having conversations about it, and, you know, being open-minded enough to try new things if that works for you guys.
Yeah. Y'all keep talking about it, but be open with each other. And good luck to y'all and God bless. You know, y'all sound like y'all are great partners in life.
Right.
So
hit me up, sis, because it sounds like we should get together.
Maybe keep doing it.
We'll have our support group and y'all can have your support group, you know. If you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
All right. Moment of truth, baby.
This is my moment of truth. For men, it's important for you to understand this. Your ideas of what you think being in a monogamous relationship is, just scratch it. Once you find the person that is your soulmate, that you decide you want to spend the rest of your life with, that person will then help you figure out what that idea of monogamy is. Right? So don't go into any relationship saying, if this is what monogamy is and this is what I expect from sex through that monogamy, you're going to be disappointed because it hasn't happened yet. You and that person haven't gotten together yet and haven't developed that. Another moment of truth for me is that although sex is important for me and it's at the top of my totem pole on things, one of the things at the top of my totem pole, it's not the top of the top. I still want to build a legacy. I love pleasing my wife. You know what I'm saying? I love having kids. I love being a great father. And more than anything else, that is what being married is about to me. So sex throughout all of that is great, but that makes it worth it. So in a lot of ways, that whole thing about a man will just have less sex happily for peace in his house, I guess is kind of true. Because
my, how the winds have shifted.
I know. It's just not true because I have on many occasions just decided, you know what? I do like seeing you smile. I do like seeing you happy. I don't want to stress you out with it. And if you skipping around and happy, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool. And that does make me feel good.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Look at you. He's just trying to get some tonight, y'all. That's all that is.
Just shellac the ponytail down. That's all I need right there. Just shellac the ponytail.
I love it. Yes. Well, my moment of truth is quick. Treating sex like it's just a random, stagnant thing is just not going to work. Sex is always evolving, and it's evolving in many ways, not just physically, but it's emotionally. It's involving your partner in it. Having the open discussions about it, as hard as it may be for the other to hear, I think it's just necessary. So put your egos aside. Put the egos aside. and just really listen to what each other needs. And then you create your own action plan in your mind of how you want to shift that. And that's something that, you know, your girl's working on a day-to-day basis. I'm trying to make us all happy up in here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Genuinely happy, too, so that it's not something that's forced. Yes. So.
Also, real quick. I don't want to forget the young women who hit me up who said they have the reverse, who their sex drive is higher than their significant others. And they said they're made to feel like whores, or they're made to feel like something is wrong with them. No. If you're a young lady who have a high sex drive, you just have a high sex drive.
Sis,
there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you.
Put
you know
me
what I'm saying?
On.
Try to find somebody who can rock with you and don't feel a way about expressing how you feel. Because the reason why Kadeen and I work is because we openly talk about how we feel. So if he's rocking with you, don't feel uncomfortable. Let him know that you need it more, and hopefully he can adhere to what you
need
and do what he needs to do as
well. We gave y'all some tips. Send me some tips for the women with the
overactive
sex
I got plenty of tips
drives.
For you. I told you.
I want to know from the women with the overactive sex drive. Oh, I what can I do?
I want to talk about
is
that type
supplement?
Of tip.
Is there a supplement? Is there something? There's something. All right, now. Well, be sure to find us and follow us on social media, Deadass the Podcast. And, of course, you can find me, Kadeen I Am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Deadass. Go get you some ass.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.